Looking for a cookbook to find that perfect recipe that calls for goat butter? Check out all of the books on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who is never going to be able to look at goats the same way, Rob Cisternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Happy Halloween episode of The Amazing Race. Very excited to talk to you guys about episode number 6 of Amazing Race 25 here on October 31st, 2014. And let's bring in my co-host for The Amazing Race, who is very excited because she knows that The Amazing Race is always fun and good. Here she is. It's Jessica Lease. Jessica, how are you?
Happy Halloween, Rob. I'm great.
Yes. Jessica, that you don't look like yourself today.
Yeah, well, you know, tis the season. And I figured if I've got to be home on Halloween night doing a podcast, I'm going to dress up and I'm going to make it thematic.
Okay. Now, I'm trying to think of the words to describe your costume for those people that are listening to the audio version of this podcast. How would you describe it?
I bought an $8 wig and I am dressed as one of my all time favorite amazing racers.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Well, you can check out if you want to see in the video version of our Amazing Race podcast. You can always check that out at robhasawebsite.com.
I'll drop a steal into the comments or something.
Well, yeah. So we'll drop some hints for those of you guys in the audio version. robhaswebsite.com/YouTube. Of course, for the people that are joining us live, we've got the chat room going on robhaswebsite.com. And then also, we have Twitter open. Scott St. Pierre is going to pull your tweets as well in the episode at robhasawebsite. Hashtag RHAP. Forgive me. All right. So we are live here on Halloween night on a week where we had some amazing race news as in terms of the podcast on and off the screen. We did not get to speak to Whitney and Keith this past week in our exit interview. Very sad.
Yeah, well, I cried for a long time, Rob. This is really a sore subject. I don't know if I want to talk about it. Yeah. I mean, I'm wearing the right outfit to be crying, but...
Yeah. Yes. And so we didn't get to speak to Whitney and Keith this past week. I did get to email some questions with them. That's up on robhasawebsite.com. But we also have some updated news on our next exit interview for The Amazing Race. And Shelly and Nisi, the latest team eliminated, I will not be talking with them either on Monday.
Oh, come on. What did we say about them?
I'm going to talk to them on Tuesday. So apparently Monday doesn't work for them on their schedule. So usually Monday is the day we do the Amazing Race interviews. They're going to be calling in on Tuesday, barring any cancellations, unless Jess says something about them tonight.
I'm going to be a saint. I mean, absolute saint.
All right. So and you're not going to U-turn any old teams or anything like that, right?
Absolutely not. And, you know, even if I did, you know, Dave and Connor are friends of the podcast. I spoke to them last week and we had a great time.
Yes. Now, Dave and Connor, you spoke with them on the podcast earlier this past week that just did a special interview that's on our Amazing Race podcast feed and on Reality TV Wrap Ups with Dave and Connor. Jess, what are they thinking about this season?
They're having a great time with it. They were a little bit disappointed that the mother daughter team couldn't get it together because they wanted to continue the trend of parent child teams. But they overall, I think they're enjoying the characters this season. I think they kind of acknowledge that it's an improvement over last season.
Okay. Well, there was a lot to get into from tonight's episode. Of course, we had the departure of Shelly and Nisi, a return to dominance for Jim and Misty, plenty of stuff with the goats along the way, plus this super tease at the end of the episode tonight, Jess, following in the footsteps of Survivor, the big, I'm not sure why, mid-season super tease for The Amazing Race, Jess.
I don't know. There was a lot this episode where I was thinking, you know, it's not Wednesday. I'm not watching Survivor. Like, why are you going through an obstacle course to collect puzzle pieces and put together a puzzle? Why are you showing a super preview? This is beneath you, Amazing Race.
Oh, come on now. Come on. Those are fighting words, Jess.
Yeah, I know. I guess I should remember who I'm talking to. I shouldn't bite the hand that feeds me here.
Yes. Yes. And next you're going to say Big Brother is the best.
I will never say that. I could be dressed as Rachel Riley for a week and I wouldn't say that.
All right. Let's talk about Shelley and Niecy. Amazing Race really didn't even try to make us think that there was going to be a chance Shelley and Niecy were going to be able to come back from this one. It really, for me, it was just a question of whether it was going to be an elimination or non-elimination like for them.
Yeah, I mean, it was at least nice of the editors to not give them that like montage at the end where they make you forget entirely that they're even still in the race. And then at the very end, it shows them like pulling up at night. So at least they didn't get that. So that was, you know, good for them.
Yes. The Whitney and Keith, as they call that.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to call anything the Whitney and Keith.
Easy,
anymore.
Jess. Easy. Easy.
Now, Rob. You're not seriously shutting me down there. I want to point this out because people thought that I was saying terrible things about Whitney and you would like swoop in to make sure I didn't offend anybody.
Yes, you're saying that I'm only emboldening you by saying no?
It's only making me making my resolve that much stronger.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk about Shelley and Niecy, and let's see if we can eulogize them a little bit. You know, they were Team Matt Meltdown. They had some bumps along the way. They had a rather uneventful last place finish, right? I mean, they just really got lost. Am I missing anything?
No, that was just, it was kind of a sad way to go out. I mean, there's no good way to go out, but it seemed kind of anticlimactic after they had that huge freak out.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was one point in the episode where it was Shelley and Niecy were driving in the car and they like managed to avoid the blow up. It was like the kind of thing that like one of them said to the other one that like, if this was 3 weeks ago, it would have turned into World War III, where it was like, you know, all right, well, we can't afford to get lost. And then I think it was Shelley who was driving the car like, well, I'm not. And they're like, no, I didn't mean it to any disrespect. It's like, no hate.
I think it's fantastic that they were able to acknowledge that behavior was about to start up again and shut it down before it even got anywhere near the point that it was a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's character building. I think, you know, everybody always says they want to make their relationship stronger on The Amazing Race, and I believe that this team actually did it.
Now, Jess, when they got to the mat, Phil brought up that moment that they were fighting, they had the mat meltdown, and one of them said, the Shelley or Niecy, like, yeah, but when we were fighting, that was when we were racing better, that it kept us competitive, the fighting. Do you buy into that at all?
I think it's true for some teams. I'm not sure it was entirely true of Shelley and Niecy at that moment. I mean, teams like Brooke and Robbie can kind of complain and snipe at each other and still be racing and still be moving. And I don't see that happening with Shelley and Niecy. It almost, you know, it almost knocked them down a few places when they had their meltdown.
Yeah, because when they were fighting and they had the mat meltdown, there was a point where like Niecy saw the route marker and didn't tell Shelley to spite her.
No, I think it was the other way around.
Whatever.
Yeah. One of them saw it and did not tell the other one. And that was potentially race ending. Like if they had not gotten their stuff together before that point, they could have been out at that leg.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So Shelley and Niecy are out. We're down to our final six teams in the race. Phil himself even hyped up what's going to happen to the teams in the race. He's like, well, this, you know, you're halfway through, but the second half is going to be even crazier.
That's not news to anybody. I don't know why Phil was presenting it as though it was new information. Like anybody that's seen any of this show at all is going to know that.
But that seems out of character for Phil. Am I wrong about that?
It is a little out of character for Phil. He was getting a little probesty.
Yeah. A little hyperbole there from Phil at the mat tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. And he seems to have a lot more opinions than he has in the past.
Yeah. Jess, did you watch the Super Tease?
Of course I watched the Super Tease.
Okay. Was there anything where all season long on Survivor, we've been saying who's going to be the person that quits? Who's going to be the person that this? They had this. Did anything in the Super Tease stand out for you? And if you are especially worried about spoilers, tune out Jessica for the next 30 seconds.
You don't have to tune me out. I didn't see anything. If you were watching carefully, you could see kind of where they were. Mm. And that's potentially a spoiler in and of itself, because you know potentially what direction they're headed. And there was one particular scene that makes it clear that they are replicating a very famous challenge from a previous season of the show.
Interesting. Okay.
And when they replicated it before, it was very close to the end of the race, and they showed a team performing this task, and that team is probably going to go pretty far.
Interesting. Okay. So to your watchful eye, you did have takeaways from it.
Yeah, I definitely had takeaways from it.
Okay.
But I was like, my wheels were turning. You could just watch it passively, and I don't think you'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe they gave away the whole season.
I was sort of watching it and saying, who am I not seeing in this?
Yeah. Yeah. There's also that.
Yes. I feel like there was somebody that one of the teams, I felt like I didn't see them very much, but I wonder, could be a fake out.
They've known for years that people are going to be going through frame by frame and trying to figure out what they're seeing. So I don't believe that it means anything if we didn't see one team.
All right. Let's talk through the episode a little bit and get your take on things. So this wasn't the first leg this season where the team stayed in the same location. Jess, did that bother you, or you don't mind it if they do that once in a while?
They can do it once, maybe twice in a season. They can't do it every single time.
Did you feel like this leg really missed a plane flight?
No, it was different enough, and there was enough self-navigation that travel was still an aspect of the season. Like, when they're still in the same exact place they were for the previous leg, that's less fun.
Yeah.
But this, you know, they had to drive quite a bit, and it was travel that ended up being the undoing of the team that got eliminated.
So the teams had to go pick up a couple bales of hay and go bring them someplace. Now, the first couple teams didn't have any problems with it, but a couple of teams actually had big problems with it. And I thought that really most notably, I really thought that was very interesting what happened with Amy and Maya, where they like found hay and brought it to the marker, and then they didn't get the clue.
Yeah. It was just like, I'm just going to grab some random hay. I don't need the marked hay. I'm sure the mark doesn't mean anything. We'll just take this random person's hay. I hope they had to put it back.
They stole somebody's hay.
They certainly did. And I bet that person was like, hey.
Hey. Hey. Yeah. Is it giving back my hay? See, you sweet scientists. That was very, very interesting. Also, the couple of teams really couldn't find the place to get the hay. Also, we had Shelly and Nisi and Tim and TJ both were lost. And a couple of they asked the other teams where to go. And when the wrestlers told Tim and TJ where to go to get the hay, I was saying, did the wrestlers tell them to go the wrong way?
Yeah, that looked a little suspicious, but I'm not sure if that was the right way or the wrong way. I feel like they would have made a thing out of it if it had been the wrong way. I think at that point, Tim and CJ were just really, really far from where they needed to be.
Yeah, I think that was kind of interesting, because I was waiting for the shot of where after Tim and TJ walked away that Brooke and Robbie were like, hey, we told them to go the wrong way. That's totally not where the hay is, because that's the Amazing Race move.
Yeah, that would have been, in fact, that exact thing happened on Amazing Race Canada, and they managed to stretch it out for like three entire episodes, this thing that took 3 seconds to happen. So I'm going to guess that we would have seen a lot more buildup around it.
Yeah, it would have definitely had a lot more buildup. So eventually all the teams end up getting their hay up to the bale, and they end up going to the next thing. But I have to say, Jess, I have been so impressed, and I'm not like an overly sappy person by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, if you asked my wife, She would tell you, I am an incredibly insensitive person. So it should be a big surprise to many of you how much I really think that Bethany is so amazing. I really am. Far be it from me to, you know, get overly sentimental about this. But, you know, I was impressed when she was pulling up the bale of hay with one hand.
Yeah, that was pretty incredible. And she struggled with it a little bit, but she didn't even pause for a second.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was going to say something snarky about, hey, did you hear Bethany is an inspiration? But yeah, I can't even.
I want to be that guy. I want to be the cynical person who's like, Bethany. But I mean, it really is amazing.
Yeah, that's, you know, our podcast is founded on that kind of remark and we can't do it.
Yes, I want to. Next season, they need to put on somebody with one arm that sucks to balance it out.
And then for the rest of their lives, they'll be the one-armed Amazing Race contestant that sucks.
That sucks because Bethany.
People.
Bethany is so good. She's so good. All right, we'll talk about more about her on the rope bridge, which was really like my jaw was dropping when she was doing that.
Yeah, that was really incredible, especially when she got to the point where she had to switch her carabiners out.
Oh my God.
I was kind of holding my breath a little bit.
Yes, I know. I know. All right. Let's talk about the detour here. What did you make of these two tasks tonight?
They looked like they were quite a bit harder than detours we have seen in the past. And at first I saw that tent thing and I'm thinking, oh, wow, this is exactly like the parking space thing in Copenhagen. But it really wasn't. It was a different kind of detail orientation and a lot more physical, I think.
Yes. And then the other one was making goat butter.
Making goat butter, which sounds like a euphemism for something and is not.
Oh, you can have a lot of euphemisms from tonight's episode of The Amazing Race.
Some of them are not really even euphemisms.
You definitely could. So, all right. So who ended up with which detour, Jess?
Well, we had Kim and Allie and Adam and Bethany and the wrestlers and Amy and Maya all ended up at the goat butter.
Okay.
Kim and TJ and Misty and Jim did the tent. And
Kim and Allie switched at one
Kim
point.
Kim and Allie switched and then they switched back.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So Kim and Allie, they were the team that they actually started with the goat butter thing first. And they got there. And so they were doing good. They got the milk and they started to go. And then they asked somebody the question of, hey, how long does this take to make the goat butter? And somebody was like, 45 minutes. And they're like, 45 minutes? We're out of here.
Yeah, they figured they could probably do whatever the tent thing was in 45 minutes.
And said, hey, we could pitch a tent in less than 45 minutes.
Yeah, I know some people that can pitch a tent in like 10 seconds.
Yes. Well, it just depends on, you know,
let's just put the brakes on that.
Yes. I was going to get into some of the instructions from the pitch a tent challenge.
Yeah, there were quite the instructions.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So as far as that goes, Jess, I just wanted to know your take on this. So in a challenge where somebody, they learn, okay, this will take 45 minutes to do. I'm like, 45 minutes. That doesn't sound that bad. I was surprised to hear that they switched when they found out it was going to be 45 minutes. Did that surprise you?
Yeah, it did surprise me a little bit. But I was thinking maybe it was kind of one of those deals where they figured that one task would take you a fixed amount of time and one task you could do potentially faster if you were either lucky or skilled. And they thought, well, we can probably be lucky or skilled.
But I feel like they were already there. I mean, how close were the two things? Were they like right next door?
They must have been right next door because they switched back pretty quickly.
Because I feel like by the time that it would take you to even get over there and start setting up the tent, like even if it takes you 20 minutes, even if you get in and out of there in 20 minutes, you know, you're only gaining 25 minutes.
Yeah, but they may have also assumed perfect goat butter rendering. Like, what if something goes wrong with your goat butter?
And, you know, that can often happen with when you're making goat butter. Something could go wrong.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of potential for things to go wrong there.
A lot of things,
maybe they were just concerned.
A lot of things could go wrong. You know, Jim stuck to his guns this week, where we talked about, you know, he didn't want to try to do things where you get judged or work with animals, and he would rather take the physical task and just see if he could power through that.
Yep, and once again, he was right. When he goes with the plan that he laid out before he even went on the race, they do great.
Yeah. Jim and Misty had a very strong bounce back episode.
Yeah. Did you notice that Misty has done three roadblocks in a row?
Interesting. So we're saying, hey, when is Jim going to actually do a roadblock?
Yeah. Jim has done one roadblock and she's done three.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I got to give her props for that.
Yeah, I have to say. And I was surprised that she did the one that she did tonight.
Yeah, that looked
harrowing.
I mean, that looked, yeah, it was more of a fear thing than like being a super physical thing. And I guess maybe they're just saving anything that might be remotely physical for Jim.
You know, Jim and Misty, they're almost like a team where they're all about like inertia. I feel like they're either the shoe-in every week to come in either first or last place. It's like if things are going their way, it's like, you know, get out of their way. Once they're rolling, they're rolling. But if they hit like a difficult spot, then things could like come apart really quickly and it's hard for them to get back going again.
Yeah, they're never middle of the pack. It's really interesting to me.
Yeah, they're like team swing for the fences.
Basically.
They're either going to hit a grand slam or strike out.
Yep. Well, you know, you've got to, as with any reality show based game, you have to make big moves.
You have to make big moves. Yeah. Well, they're trying. They're going for it every single week. They're going to be a lot of fun to watch down the stretch. All right. Let's talk about some of the hijinks from the goats. There was a lot of hunting for big boob goats. There was a lot of talk of I've got my eye on you. Your boobs are huge.
Yeah, I don't know. That goat's probably feeling a little uncomfortable. Goat probably wants to holler back.
Yeah, there was a little bit of like, okay, this goat, there's nothing left here in these boobs, in these udders. You know, I thought this Amazing Race is supposed to be a family show. AJ Mass watches this with his son.
You know, maybe it's a good time to teach your children about goat boobs.
I guess so.
Keith Dixon pointed out in the chat room, and I love this, that there was a moment where Robbie said, look at that goat. I'm going to milk him.
Whoa. Easy. Oh, no. That's a different challenge.
Yeah, that's not on the family version.
That is not. Yeah, we'll leave that alone. So what did you think of the team's technique with doing the goat butter challenge? Did anybody impress you?
Well, Kim and Allie, I think, won the goat butter.
Yes.
That was just really entertaining. Possibly one of the top five funniest moments I've ever seen. When they are there and Adam and Bethany are there and the guy is singing and they decide they're going to start singing back.
Yes. Yes. That was very, very funny. Do you think that the guy got pissed or he liked it?
I think, well, he was smiling. I think he was entertained.
Do we have to update our CBS country music singer power rankings after this week?
I wouldn't call that country. Okay. I mean, they're, you know, they're from Brooklyn. There's no country music in Brooklyn unless you're at like the hipster bar in Williamsburg with the guys with the beards and the banjos.
Okay.
That's right. Not Kim and Allie's scene.
That's not Kim and Allie's scene. All right. Fair enough. All right. So then Kim and Allie end up switching back from doing the tents. Did you feel like they got the hang of it as far as like knowing when to switch right on the tent challenge?
Yeah, I think they had an idea of what they thought the tent challenge was going to be. And if it was that, then they were correct to switch and they'd be able to get through it. But when they got there and they realized there was more to it than they had originally thought, it was better not to even mess with it. Because they knew what they had to do to get through the rest of the goat challenge, and they did not know how much they would have to do on the tents.
Which part of the detour had more unintentional, out of context, inappropriate lines? The milking of the goats or the pitching of the tents?
Pitching of the tents.
Yes.
There were some great, great moments with poles and tents and holding things up and
the holes,
all the things that happened.
Did you have a favorite of those?
I think it would be like choosing a favorite child.
Okay. I am upset with myself for not having the audio to pull because something gets lost in the translation when you're not hearing the contestants say it themselves.
Well, you could dramatically reenact them.
I could. If we have them in the chat room, maybe we can go ahead and reenact them. As far as then when we get to the roadblock, okay, this was a pretty intense roadblock, I thought.
Yeah, that was, well, I think it was a roadblock that did not involve a tremendous amount of skill. It feels like part of that roadblock was really tacked on.
Yeah.
It was like, you have to do this one, like, kind of sort of scary thing. It's not the scariest thing you've ever had to do on the show. So we're going to give you a puzzle to do as well.
Yeah, talk about the addition of the puzzle, which did make it feel very un-Amazing Race-like.
Yeah, it was so Survivor-y.
Yeah. Well, what was your take on it? Did you like it? Was that an improvement for you, or did that take you out of it that they had to complete a puzzle?
It took me out of it. I thought that was kind of ridiculous. It's just like, we're going to just drop this puzzle in here out of nowhere. There's not really a cultural connection there, or if there is, it's very tenuous. I really honestly think that they could have added some element on that would have made the task harder than it was, but it wouldn't necessarily have had to feel so plunked down in the middle of it.
Yeah, I did feel like the actual puzzle itself did look kind of lame.
Yeah, it was. Well, apparently there was a trick to it, and you could put together the whole puzzle and not be done with it because you'd have these pieces left over.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was one of those kind of gotcha puzzles where you have to figure out what the trick is.
Yeah. Misty was the first team to go through all this, and she really aced it. She really did a great job. I thought this was going to be, oh my God, I can't believe they're letting Misty do this. And I thought that she was going to freak out, but she did a great job.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Usually when you have a team like Jim and Misty, and you have a guy like Jim on your team who's like crazy intense and in it to win, and he cares about first place every single leg, usually the second member of the team is kind of passive and doesn't do as much. But honestly, Misty is as strong as Jim, and she's not quite as vocal, but she's right up in there, and she's definitely, I think she could hang with any of the roadblocks we might see this season.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel like for Misty, like being out there, like on that bridge and so far away from Jim, I think like really helps her. Like, I feel like maybe when she struggles, it's like when Jim is like eyes like bugging out of his head, like staring at what she's doing.
Yet again, we're going to lose something for our audio listeners.
Yeah. But do you think there's something to that?
Yeah, I think maybe it's got to be one of those things. I think it's true for everybody. When you're on this show, you can't be more than 20 feet from your partner at any point when the camera is on you. So I have to imagine that when your partner is anybody at all in the world, you would look for those moments where you could get some distance from them and kind of do your own thing a little bit. And especially when your partner is somebody like Jim, that's really important. So she probably looked at that rope bridge and she's like, wow, that's 100 yards from Jim and I can go out there. It's going to be very quiet and peaceful. And so she went for it.
That's why she wanted to do it, because it was to get far away from Jim.
Just to take a little break from Jim.
A gym break.
Yes, we all need to take a break from our spouses every once in a while. And if you get to do a zip line in the process, that's even better.
Okay. Let's talk about Bethany on the roadblock, because just if I was doing this with two hands and two arms, I would have been, you know, incredibly afraid. And, you know, I guess maybe it goes back to the thing where once a shark bites off your arm, there's not much else that you're afraid of. And
yeah, I'm going to actually put that in the JL rules.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there a part of the body that you don't use as much that you could let the shark bite and then get the fearlessness in that way?
No, the shark has to, you have to give something important to the shark.
Okay. Oh my God. Oh my God.
It requires sacrifice. It's like, you know, anything worthwhile in this world requires sacrifice.
Well, she's going across the rope bridge, and yeah, the carabiners when she has to go ahead and unlock them, and she's using, and she's doing it with one hand. I was like a nervous wreck for her to be able to do it. She didn't even bat an eye. And then they get to this puzzle, Jess. And yeah, now she has to put together this puzzle with one arm, and she's struggling with it. So what does she do? She takes her shoes off.
And then she does the puzzle with her feet.
With her feet. And then
with
you
her feet.
And then you had Brooke, who later on, and we love Robbie and Brooke. We enjoy them this season. But to have Brooke being this like completely upset over this puzzle, like, what did she keep saying? I don't get it. I mean, Bethany didn't even say boo and put together the puzzle with her feet.
Yeah, and you know, Brooke, who has two hands and two feet, is, you know, it's completely destroying her.
Yeah. Well, Bethany is, I mean, they, nothing rattles them.
Yeah. And part of that, I guess, we also have to say part of that is probably because they're surfers, and that's how surfers roll.
I guess so. Yeah. Adam was like, yeah, nothing's going to bother her because she surfs on like 20 foot waves.
40 foot.
40 foot waves. Right. Right. It's insane. I've been so impressed with them, and I did not think I was going to be fans of the team Soul Surfer, but they're just so easy to root for.
Yeah, they, you know, I looked at that and I thought this team is gimmicky, and they probably, you know, they probably got recruited and they're just there to bring in viewers from everywhere else. And seeing them at the very beginning of the season, I just assumed that we'd get that sort of treacly, you know, she's an inspiration to everybody. But no, you can't have a single bad thing to say about Adam and Bethany, because they're fantastic. They're funny. They're nice to each other. They're very much in love. They're good at the challenges, and they're just charming.
Yeah, no, I agree. I felt like it was stunt casting before the season, and for all intents and purposes, like, let's be honest, like, it probably was. Like, I don't even know if they knew how good they were going to be in the race, but they've been so good.
Yeah, it's possible that they would, you know, they might wind up, instead of being that like famous team that's famous for something else before they went on the Amazing Race, they're going to go down in like Amazing Race history.
Whoa. Whoa. All right. Well, let's not put the cart ahead of the horse, Jess.
They could put that as a bullet point on their resume.
A bullet point on the resume. All right. So let's talk about Brooke trying to do the puzzle. I mean, she got to the puzzle, and like, not even when she was doing the puzzle, she like looked that there was puzzle pieces and just like, I don't get it. I don't get it. Like, okay, that's a puzzle. You have to put that together.
Yeah, that seems to be kind of her MO.
Yeah. Now, Jess, out of all the Amazing Race that you've watched, you know, how many different versions of Amazing Race have you seen? Over 40?
I don't think there are over 40. I've certainly seen
over
about
30. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen about 30.
Can you talk a little bit about when Brooke goes into immediately with like the negative self-talk about, I can't do this, I don't get it, and versus somebody who has the positive self-talk? Do you find that, is that just sort of like, you know, just talking in generalizations, or is that there actually merit to that on The Amazing Race?
There's definitely merit to that. It's a lot of... And it's sometimes it's even the same attitude expressed slightly differently. And it's more helpful if, instead of saying, this is impossible, I can't do this, I don't get it, if you say, this is really hard, this is frustrating me, I'm having a hard time with this, I don't know what to do next. That's better than just kind of ruling something out as impossible. It's a very slight distinction, but it's a very important one.
Yeah. I know it's an interesting thing, and you know, I try to you know, catch myself when I get into that. What's the best thing for the partner to say when a partner is talking about, like, let's say that Robbie was there And from what you've seen on these, the successful, amazing race teams, if the partner is getting into, I can't do this, this is impossible, what's the best thing for the partner to say? Is it to say, like, just like, you got this? Or is it sort of like the thing where it's a listen to, you know, okay, well, why is it, why are you struggling with it?
Well, there's, I think there's a limit on what you can say to your partner while they're doing the roadblock. But, and I also think it varies from person to person. Like, some people need to be yelled at in that moment, just kind of shake them out of it. I think Brooke might be one of those people where she needs to hear, you got this, you know, suck it up, get it done. And I think other people might respond better to just take a breath, clear your head, sit back. It's okay. We're going to get through this.
Okay.
I think it really depends on who's doing the task and how they're responding.
Interesting. Let's talk about Misty and Jim. They get back to number one, and Jim and Misty win a trip to Brazil.
Yep. They are actually, they're going to go to Iguazu Falls, which I have been to, and it's amazing, and I'm jealous.
Okay. You're jealous because they are getting to go there again.
Yeah. It's really fantastic. They're going to have a wonderful time.
Okay. So as the other teams are starting to finish up, Allie, she gets her puzzle done. Does she describe herself as a badass tonight?
I think she was described as a badass. I think it's better when other people call you a badass.
What? But not basically. So is it, are you better to basically call yourself a badass, or have somebody else just call you definitively a badass?
I think it's better to be definitively a badass than basically a badass.
Yeah. Okay.
Always better.
All right. So then in second place tonight was Adam and Bethany. What did you think of the guy with the dove with Phil?
I really have nothing to say except there was a guy playing the banjo with a chicken and a dove on his head. And the dove could do tricks.
Just.
And if I had been told this last week, I would not believe you.
Okay, Jess, another person at a pit stop with an animal. You know, you've said that it is a exercise in futility to try to guess if there's going to be a memory challenge at the final leg of the race. But we've seen a penguin or whatever it's called, puffin. We've seen a Great Dane. We've seen now the dove. What else am I missing?
Well, I actually, when we first posited that this might be the thing, I went back and I screen capped all of the greeters that we'd seen, and they don't all have animals at them. But I think almost every leg has had an animal in it at some point.
Okay. All right. So you're throwing that out.
You might have to have an animal for every leg.
Yeah. Were you impressed with the dove's tricks?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I'm not sure how I would respond to having a dove sitting on my head, but that was pretty cool to watch.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for TJ getting pecked by it.
Yeah, TJ got pecked in the head by the dove. I also felt bad for Shelly and Nisi, where it was like, Shelly and Nisi, you are the last team to arrive. And I'm afraid I have to tell you that you've been eliminated from the race.
But look, the bird does tricks.
But I do have some good news. Abruptly lift your arm in the air. The bird will do a trick. Like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I feel a little bit better now, Phil. Thank you. Thank you for that.
That is cold comfort indeed.
Yes. Okay. So that's anytime you could see a bird do a little trick, then that'll cheer you right up.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the other teams were sort of struggling a little bit. Amy and Maya are really on the brink here, I feel like.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be a lot better than they were. They seem to just, like, they lost some momentum and they've never really gotten up to the front of the pack.
Yeah. Maya really struggled with the puzzle.
Yeah, I was surprised. She's a scientist.
Yeah.
Doesn't she do, like, math and logic and stuff for a living?
Yeah, you would think
so. She has a PhD in milk fat, for crying out loud.
What can you do with a PhD in milk fat?
I think that's a great pickup line for starters.
What?
But
I think that's a pickup line that's going to get you slapped in the face, Jess.
Hey, baby, I got a PhD in milk fat.
I think that's a slap right there.
I don't know. I think it's got legs, man. But she's going to make ice cream. That's her
Somebody
thing.
Try that in the chat room and let me know how that works. Maybe we can get Vetus to tweet that out to one of the Survivor women.
Yeah, you know, Vetus is our new experiment. Like now that the Finchler's off the market, we could have a new like dating show around Vetus.
I'll tell you what. Don't have Ian Terry do that because he's already on the verge of getting slapped here and there by some of these reality TV women. So don't give that one to him. Let me know.
All right.
That's like a Primetime 99 pickup line.
It is. Maybe that's why I responded to it.
Whoa. Oh my God, Jess. Okay, so the teams come in. Kim and Allie end up in third place. Kind of a rough week for Kim and Allie. They had been pretty dominant for the last couple of weeks, but this week they ended up with some missteps. But they were out in front and nothing really to worry about, but a down week for Kim and Allie.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know it from watching them. Like, if you watch them without seeing any other teams around them or knowing what place they're in, it's like, these guys are having an awesome time. They must be doing great.
Yeah. Then we had, Tim and TJ, were four.
Yeah. Tim and TJ and four.
Okay. And then Robbie and Brooke are five.
Yeah. And then
Amy and Maya are six. And then Shelly and EC are seven. Talk to me about Robbie and Brooke. They have been perennially, seemingly bottom three just about this whole race, right?
Yeah, they're one of those teams, we call them the backpackers. They're kind of, they stay at the back of the pack. I think someone, the first season that I covered Amazing Race for you, someone coined that, and I think it's fabulous.
Yeah, the backpackers, indeed. Amy and Maya and Robbie and Brooke have been right there. Tell me about Tim and TJ. What's been your read on them through the last couple of weeks?
You know, what little we have seen of Tim and TJ, they're very funny. But I think what I'm getting from Tim and TJ is that they have a lot of book smarts, but they don't have necessarily maybe the common sense to back it up.
Yeah.
And I've seen that happen a couple of times, like when they were lost in Scotland and they didn't know what a quarry was, for example.
Yes.
And I think they definitely have a lot of strengths. And when there's like something that's very cerebral, I think they do very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot of stuff that's got the potential to trip them up.
They were griping about how the other teams are all more physical than them. They're on a season with wrestlers, with surfers, with dentists who are bodybuilders.
I mean, do they watch the show? They have those people every single season. There's going to be somebody that looks like they've been taking steroids, and they should know going in that they should be bulking up. Like, you know, Dennis and Isabel did CrossFit before they came on the show. That's part of your training regimen.
Your success story?
Get beefcakey. I mean, if a team that went out second already knows this and you don't know it.
Yeah. What did you think of Jim on the mat talking about his $1 million smile to Phil? It seemed like Phil had a lot of restraint in that moment.
Yeah, Phil is usually the one who brings that up. So, you know, Phil was on his best behavior there.
Yeah.
Generally, he's like, hey, get a load of that guy's teeth.
Yeah, I thought he was going to say, that's a $10 million smile.
Yeah.
It's $1 billion smile.
$32 million smile, one for each tooth.
Okay, let's go ahead and let's bring in some of the questions that Scott St. Pierre has been pulling for us, Scott. If you have the questions, let's go ahead and take them. Let's start off with Samantha Mann. It says, Brooke playing up to the camera just a bit too much. Jess, what'd you think about when Brooke started doing wrestling moves to the hay?
I think she was having fun. I don't think she was necessarily like, hey, I'm going to get some camera time by being a wrestler. In fact, I think one of two things happened there. She just wanted to have fun and she was feeling kind of punchy. Or the other thing is the cameraman might have been like, hey, throw it down and pretend you're wrestling because that's what you do. You're a wrestler and that's your angle. And she just did it. But the fact that Robbie was yelling at her to get going, I'm going to guess she's just caught up in the moment and she felt a little silly.
Well, you know, she's lucky that she didn't split the bag of hay open.
That would have been entertaining.
Yeah, because it looked like that bag wasn't holding up. I thought they were going to be like, you know, horsing around and then they end up with a split in the bag. And then you got a big problem on your hand. You're hemorrhaging hay.
Yeah, I wonder if like you have to make sure every piece of hay gets transported.
Yes, they have to go back and pick that up. You dropped your hay.
Every individual piece of hay.
Yes. Okay. Let's take a question here from WhoPlane1, who says, do you guys think that Jim and Misty will actually break the record for most first places? Hence the overemphasis of it each episode? No way, right, Jess?
Mathematically, they can't. They're already not going to do that.
Yes. Yes. No, they cannot. Who holds that record? Is it a tie?
It's
Dave and Rachel.
Dave and Rachel. Yeah.
Dave and Rachel.
I think they won
season
20. I think they won 8 in their season.
Season
yeah.
20. Let's take another question. This is from the great Hoopy Man, Joel Hooper. He wants to say, definitely a place the animal with the location final challenge for the Amazing Race.
Yeah. Well, you know, Hoopy Man has spoken.
Hoopy Man has spoken. By the way, I just want to get this out there. I keep forgetting to say it in the podcast. This is going to hold true for the Survivor Know-It-Alls as well. But if you're watching the show as it's on and you do hashtag RHAP and ask your question or leave your comment, we'll be able to get to it in the show. It doesn't have to be when the actual podcast is on. Scott's able to go back and see all the tweets from the night that you use the hashtag. So feel free as you're watching the episode and you think of a question that you want to ask us, both for this Amazing Race podcast and for Survivor Know-It-Alls on Wednesday, definitely go ahead and do that. We can always use more questions from you guys. Here we go. Let's give it up for Mike Bloom. With another first place victory, do you think Jim and Misty's two finishes near the bottom were flukes? Okay, what's the outlier, Jess? Is it the weeks that Jim and Misty were at the bottom of the pack, or the weeks that Jim and Misty are at the top of the pack?
I think it's like we said, Jim and Misty are going to be at one end or the other every single week.
Okay.
It's not going to be down to like, is this just a fluke? I think sometimes, you know, it's like you said, they either strike out or they hit a grand slam.
Boom. Boom. Okay. Let's go ahead and go to Mary McMahon. And Mary McMahon has a question. If you aren't the one elected to do a fun task, can you ask to do it also? Okay. So hypothetically, this is, she's talking about the zip line. If Misty does the roadblock, could Jim say after, like, hey, can I do this roadblock real quick? Can I get in there? Can I get in on this?
I don't think you're allowed to do that. And I've heard people get annoyed in the past. They don't get to do the fun part.
Hmm. Why? What's the problem? If a team wants to waste their time, like if a team wants to go like, you know, hang out and you go to a movie in the middle of the leg, they can't do it.
Well, I think that's different. We have had teams like take the day off and go shopping. That has happened in the past. But honestly, for those things, the producers are paying for a certain number of people to get to go on the zip line. And, you know, that costs money. And I don't think they're paying for extra people to go ziplining.
Okay. All right.
Especially not in this era where they're pre-booking flights, you know?
All right. So let's go to the original Donald. And the original Donald says, in retrospect, did Niecy and Shelley make the wrong decision in not U-turning Jim and Misty? This is interesting. Okay. Of course, last week they U-turned Keith and Whitney. But now, was it wrong to not U-turn Shelley, to U-turn Jim and Misty?
I don't think so. I think it wouldn't have had a whole lot of bearing on what actually ended up happening.
Yeah, I think it wouldn't have been a big deal.
Entirely possible Whitney and Keith would have still been doing their task.
Mm-hmm.
And they may well have gotten eliminated anyway.
Yeah. Okay, Shane Gallagher, our great Amazing Race podcast recapper. He has a question. It says, can we say that Jim has listened to Jess on the podcast after he said another one of the JL rules tonight, avoid tasks with animals?
You know, I'm just going to put it out there. I don't know if Jim and Misty are podcast fans, but I am going to say that Jim's espousing a lot of things I espouse, and it just makes me feel good about being right. So either way, you know.
Yes. Now, do you think that this is going to be a situation where after the season is over, Jim is going to say, Jessica, I was your biggest fan in the whole world, and you made a lot of jokes about me this season, and you really hurt me? No exit interview with Rob.
Yeah. It's really going to depend on whether or not they do the exit interview. But I think I think it's pretty clear that I, at least I, for one, am a big Jim and Misty fan. So I think they have nothing to worry about from the rehab front.
You guys are both into lifting weights, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
We're both like scary intense when we're in competition.
Yeah. Jeremiah Yap wants to say, who's the bigger badass, Allie or Drew Christie?
Well, one of them is definitively a badass and one of them is basically a badass.
Yes.
So
I would say, you say Allie.
I say Allie.
Is Kim a meat collector?
I think she's a vegan.
Who's the meat collector of this season?
Who is Robbie?
Okay, that's fair. This is from Mr. Air Sonic, who says, how are the Amazing Race ratings views been since the season started? I'm wondering the differences between when they were on Sunday compared to Friday. So far, in my opinion, this season has been the best in a long time. I'm really hoping the Amazing Race is going to continue in seasons beyond this one. So Jess, the Amazing Race ratings spiked the night that Phil and came on the podcast with us. Last week, they were down from the previous week. Would you say that the Amazing Race Friday nights has been a success story at this point?
Well, they've lost a lot of viewers compared with Sunday nights, but the expectations are not as high for Friday nights. And they're basically in the rankings, they're doing about as well as they used to do on Sunday nights. So although they're having fewer viewers, there are fewer viewers overall. Plus, we're getting to count DVRs and other things in there. So I don't think they've lost a significant number, like enough that they will ponder canceling it. And I'd also, I have been hearing that they're going to start filming the next season any day now. So
boom,
they might film it and just keep it in the can, but I'm going to guess we're going to see a season 20, whatever.
Six.
Six. Yes.
26.
All these ones are in different numbers. I can't keep track.
Jess, yes or no, will there be a Survivor or Big Brother pair on Amazing Race 26?
Well, with Blood versus Water being on, I could definitely see them picking up a pair from there.
So you think we could see potentially a pair going from this current season of Survivor Blood versus Water to the Amazing Race 26?
I think that could happen.
Interesting. That would be very, very interesting if that was the case. Jess, I know that you are wearing an Amazing Race costume. Did you happen to see Reed and Josh from Survivor and their Amazing Race costume?
I certainly did. I loved it.
Yes.
Although I do wish that they had gone with their original plan of being Steven and Rob, because that would have been pretty epic.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of BS that they said that they might do that. But then when I saw their actual costume was the 20s, I was like, well, maybe they were considering.
Like, yeah, I don't know where they scared up an ombre wig on 24 hours notice, but you know, props to them.
Yes, they did. We're not fools.
If I was going to see a team on next season of The Amazing Race from this season of Blood versus Water, I would say that Josh and Reed are at the top of my list.
Josh and Reed are at the top of the list. Interesting. Interesting. What about Dale and Kelly?
Dale and Kelly originally applied for The Amazing Race and The Amazing Race didn't want them.
Yes. Well, we know Dale knows about The Amazing Race. Okay.
I don't even know if he's a fan anymore.
He's out. All right. Mike Bloom. Which is more inherent to Moroccan culture, zip lining and putting together a puzzle or playing a guitar with a chicken on your head?
It's a banjo, Mike Bloom. Get it right. I feel like we saw a side of Morocco that's rarely seen.
Yeah. All right. Let's do a couple more questions. El Pintendo wants to say, would you be worried about The Amazing Race being on Halloween and how low the ratings would be?
Well, I think, again, people are going to DVR it.
Yes, yes. And it's, listen, like, just because we're, you know, young hip people watching The Amazing Race, talking to young hip people who watch The Amazing Race. Again, I don't know if the young hip people who might be having Friday night Halloween plans are the same demographic that's the majority of The Amazing Race audience.
Yeah, I feel like after you get past a certain age, and there's people over a certain age are the bread and butter of the Amazing Race audience, those people take their kids out and are home before dark to watch the Amazing Race.
Yes.
So I'm not I don't think we're losing.
Much like I was, and I'm on the West Coast.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't have children to take out trick-or-treating, but we spent 2 hours handing out candy at home.
Yeah. Did you have any Halloween plans besides this?
Are
you
going
to go out as Rachel Riley?
I had to be here.
Yes. Nicole and I went to the mall with the baby. I guess they have trick-or-treating at the mall. You could do that.
Just realized why you're dressed like a prisoner, because Nicole put pictures up of Dominic dressed like a cop.
I don't know if you could really see it on the thing that I'm wearing a costume. I'm like a criminal, like a prisoner bad guy. Before orange was the new black, white and black was the old orange.
You look like one of the Beagle Boys from DuckTales.
Yes, yes, yes. And so Dominic was a police officer, and Nicole and I had a criminal costume. And I was like ex-convict Dave. That's a Utopia joke.
Love it.
Okay, let's do one or two more questions. Let's do from Ben Sharon, Kim and Allie or Brooke and Claire?
Oh, don't make me choose. Wait, Ben Sharon.
Is this a would you
I'm
rather?
A
ding, marry, kill?
It's not a ding, marry, kill. I think it's just a who do you love more. And I'm starting to feel like some of my Brooke and Claire love is shifting over to Kim and Allie, and I'm torn about this.
Okay. All right. Last question. This is from Dominic Pell. Can Jess and Rob sing their rendition of Making Moroccan Butter Song?
I think I would lose something if I don't have a churn to play.
Yeah. I mean, there really was no song to it, right?
Not really. They were just entertaining themselves.
Yeah. Could you give us an attempt?
No.
Just going back to your tweet that we talked about on the Sorry podcast. Now, did Jeff Probst actually say it's like Baylor stuck in gum?
No, okay, he didn't say that.
You did some fan fiction of Jeff's narration.
Where's the fan fiction button?
Yeah, I don't have it ready. Okay. All right. Well, Jessica, fantastic job. Now, I want to just let our Amazing Race audience know about this. Just have you tried out the CBS All Access app?
I have not yet.
Okay. Well,
I have all the Amazing Race seasons archived on my hard drive.
All right. Well, CBS just came out with an All Access app, which features the archives of every season of Survivor, The Amazing Race, and Big Brother. You can go all the way back to the beginning and watch all of these seasons on demand. There are commercials. You are going to watch a commercial on the commercial breaks, but it's $5.99 a month. We have also for you guys, they just announced it. I have a offer for a free month on the CBS All Access app. If you use I want to make sure I have the promo code right first before I give it out.
Month. Okay, yes. This is a game changer.
Yes. 1M free is the promo code if you want to sign up for that. And I believe that promo code is going to work through November 15th, if you want to give that a shot on the CBS All Access app. And you could probably watch a couple seasons in a month's time if you wanted to check that out. So it's 1M free, and that is for the CBS All Access app. If you want to use our affiliate link, you could do so at robhasawebsite.com/CBS app. That's with two P's, CBS app, or click on the banner in the sidebar of robhasawebsite.com. Jess, do you have a hashtag for tonight's episode?
Definitive badass.
Definitive badass. That is a long hashtag that's hard to spell.
Well, nobody could spell meanie head either, so I got nothing. I did have an announcement, like once we figure out the hashtag.
Okay.
I got a guest for Monday night.
Oh, what do you got?
We're going to be talking to friends of Rob Has a Podcast and previous podcast guests, Team Guido from season one.
Oh, Team Guido back in action.
Yeah, I'm very excited. They've got a lot to say about the new season, so I'm very excited to be talking to them.
Okay, so check that out. If you want to hear all of the additional Amazing Race interviews that Jess has been doing, check that out on our reality TV Rehap Ups feed at robhasawebsite.com/rehap. Ups, or of course they'll all be on robhasawebsite.com, or you can do it in our Amazing Race podcast feed, robhasawebsite.com/TAR podcast. All right, so let's see how many people can spell definitively badass.
Okay, and if you can't spell that, just do hashtag goat butter.
Goat butter. Okay, that's probably better. Okay, not big boob goats.
I thought this was a family podcast,
it is.
Rob.
It is. It's a family podcast. It should have family hashtags. How many people did tweet tonight, big boob goats, do you think?
I didn't look it up, but I realize now I probably should have.
Was it big boob goats? Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was big boob goats.
Oh, big boob goat. Let me see. Okay, so there were how many people? Four people tweeted about big boob goat tonight.
I think I was one of them.
No, you weren't. You were not. Okay. All right.
Then I got to get on that.
Jess, have a very happy Halloween. Hope everybody does too. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. We'll be back with our Amazing Race exit interview coming up on Tuesday this week with Shelley and Nisi. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon. Bye.
One race to rule them all. One race around the world. From the city to the sea. Thanks to Travelocity. After you've crossed the finish, man. One place left after that. There must be somewhere you can go. They're gonna take you around the world. Around the world. Around.